Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, is our text. So, compliments of the season, everyone. Verse 36. Looking at Christian discipleship. Amen. Father, we're grateful for this morning. We thank you for the ministry of your word. It comes to us. We ask that we are all enlightened, instructed by your word this morning. As we have prayed, as we have received much more revelation by your word in our hearts, we ask that our thoughts, our judgments, our opinions, our convictions aligns with your word, aligns with your counsel today, tomorrow, so we find ourselves working much more effectively in the hope of your calling, ministry, and Christian discipleship, which you have committed to us individually and as a whole and as a church through the rest of the year and in the coming year, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So in 36, Matthew's Gospel 9. It is when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Praise God. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Praise God. I think that's still the case today, right? Right? Compared to the harvest. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that they will send forth laborers into his harvest. Praise God. Alright? So we have been looking at the concept of Christian discipleship. So we said it's an annual explanation. We're back to it. We've been on it for few days or weeks now. Praise God. We said quite a number of things. So we'll just continue from where we paused. That was on Sunday. And then I continue again on Sunday. Praise the Lord. So we're having a teaching subject across the year. Is it clear? So I'm saying, what's the new year teaching this year? I don't know. Praise God. Like a manufacturer is not coming. Amen? Alright, so we just have this teaching session. And then we'll not have a second session today. Not have a second session, because I want everyone to get back to their places, get busy. Praise God. Alright. So we said, Jesus said, it is the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenty. Amen? Then it says, the laborers are few. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send for laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. So we said, our work. So we said that we have a work, right? I mean, a lot of people are traveling. You have one festivity to eat chicken and fried meat. That's fine. It's okay. So we have a duty, D-U-T-Y, right? Right? To make disciples. Amen. We said on Sunday, we said that several Sundays ago, but again, I belabored the point. Permit the use of that word. I belabored that point, that emphasis on Sunday, that our work is that of a shepherd, right? Right? Uh-huh. You know, I remember we took some time in Acts 20, right? We took some time in Acts 20. And then we saw from Acts 20 that the work of a leader or a pastor, let me use that word, right? Is described as a shepherd, isn't it? To shepherd. I don't want to go back into that text because I have a piece. So, but we said that Paul says to take oversight, right? To take oversight, right? Now, to take oversight over what? All of the flock, isn't it? Now, Taking oversight itself means to oversee all. Amen? To oversee all over all of the flock. Now, if you follow our study, you observe that we have been describing two kinds of sheep, right? There's the lost sheep, isn't it? Isn't it? Can I get responses? Or are we feeling cold again this morning? Can I get responses? At least you should start rehearsing now to be in a multi-million naira office now. Are we together? Amen. If this is too cold for you, I can't even say you're an apostle to the UK. you just take the next flight home. It's like someone that the whole family and lineage, they contributed money. I saw it on social media. Because if they have money, send him to the UK. The week after, said the cold is too much. So the village you've held his neck. Praise God. But if it's too much, let's know so that we don't worry. How many months it will have it. Amen. Are we together? So we said the pastor is an oversight, overseer rather, because he oversees many things. You are not an overseer when you only see one thing. Is it clear? So to look after the flock. And then you know, we saw in the same Acts 20. In the same text, Paul now mentioned to feed, right? 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 Yes, Acts 20, 28, 29. To feed the flock. Then what was the next thing we saw in 29? To do what? You know, he said to take heed to the flock, right? He now says to feed them. And then he now began to talk about grievous wolves which will come. Right? Then he says to protect the flock away from. So it's not about to explain the Bible. Shepherding over the flock of God has more to do than explaining Bible. Is it clear? Now, the primary function is to explain the scriptures. But when we say to feed the flock, to feed the flock of God, yes, the primary function is to explain the scriptures, but it goes much more than just explaining the scriptures. Are we together, church? It has to do with much more than explaining the scriptures. Even though, primarily, I will explain the scriptures. And then I showed you also that the one who then explains the scriptures cannot be a specialist, right? Right? So, a pastor must not be a specialist. He says, oh, this is my own area of specialization within the scriptures. No. Paul says, the entire counsel of God. Is it clear? The entire counsel. So, a pastor or a shepherd must be vast in the scriptures. You must understand basic concepts. You must understand the doctrine and the practice, that is the life of biblical concepts. The doctrine and the life of Bible concepts. The doctrines and the life. Are we together? The living, the doctrine and the living. The doctrine and the life. I'll tell you someone in the week. I said, there's what we call the doctrine of faith. A man can have a doctrine of faith, he doesn't have the life of faith. Are you with me? A man can have what? A man can have the doctrine of faith. He doesn't have the life of faith. And I told you that the reason for the doctrine is what? Is the life of it. Why do we teach on prayer? So we can pray. You haven't prayed if all you do is teach about prayer. You haven't prayed. If all you do is sit down and learn about prayer, it's not tantamount to what? To pray. Are we together? What if we sing about prayer? Have we prayed? No. What if we write about prayer? Have we prayed? No. What if I go on Twitter and I tweet on prayer? Have I prayed? The way you tweet, you say, have I prayed? No. Praise God. I haven't prayed until what? I pray. Hallelujah. I haven't prayed until what? I pray. I haven't prayed until I pray. Until I actually pray. I haven't prayed. Greek. I can quote Hebrew, quote Yoruba, quote Aramaic, quote French. On giving. If I have not given, I have not what? Given. Is it clear? So it's important that we teach so we can have the doctrine, but the essence of the doctrine is the life. So a man can have a doctrine of faith, but he doesn't have the life of faith. Are we together? Now, some say, which one is important? Well, both have. Both. Both of them. Important. The doctrine of it is important. The life of it, but I think the life of it is important. Are we together? The life of it is more important. Someone say the life of faith. Tell your neighbor, say the life of faith. Tell someone by you, say the life of faith. The life of faith is more important. Hey! Now you have the doctrine, you have a note. Maybe on your desk you have notes that you have taken from services for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, teachings on faith. You need to do everything in your notes on the table. And then look at this. A simple sickness just enters your shoulder. You're gone. You're gone. Praise God. A simple what? Simple thing. Now I've been sick before. Terribly. So I know what I'm talking about. Terribly. Are we together? Then suddenly, you put aside all that you have been learning in God's word. Just put it aside. Then you begin to run race. Race dictated by medical reports. Fear. Terror. No, not you. See, I'm a man of the world. The reason why we are learning God's word is so that we can have the life that the word produces. That is, you have word life. Is to have the life. Tell your neighbor, say, do you have the life? I know we're looking at Christian disciples, should get back to that shortly. But that's the essence. Now, what I'm sharing with you right now is as important as our ongoing subject. Is it clear? The reason why we teach God's word, why we learn God's word, is so that we can have the what? The life. So, there is something such as the life of faith. And let me tell you something. The life of faith is a stubborn one. Now, obviously, there is a difference between faith and stubbornness. Is it clear? But I use that word because there is usually what the way the world judges the things of the spirit. And I've told you that severally. There is a way. I told you that. When I told you to never allow anyone talk you out of the things of God. One of the way they start is that, see, the world have his own way of referring to the things of the Spirit. Is it clear? Is it clear? It has its own grammars, dispositions. The world has its own way of referring to the things of the Spirit. His own description. Sometimes they tell you are proud. So that's their own way. Sometimes they tell you that when you walk in honor, they say it's hero worship. When you are being accountable, someone is controlling your life, manipulating you, controlling your life. Are we together? Are we together? When you take up your resources and you give, they say someone is manipulating you. That's the world. Now, they are like that because of the way they see it. Are we together? The way they see it is why they are the world. That's why they are outside. They are outside the family, outside the kingdom. That's why they are unsaved. If they could see it differently, they will be found in God's plan. So for you, you are already in God's plan, there is a way you see the things of God. Now, the way you see it is why you are saved. There's a way you see Jesus. Is it clear? Is it clear? There's a way you see Jesus. There is a way the world sees Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Now, the way the world sees Jesus is why it remains as the world. So he doesn't believe. The world doesn't believe. The world does not acknowledge that he is Savior. The world does not acknowledge that he is God in the flesh. So there is a way the world sees Jesus. That is why they don't have eternal life. There is a way you see Jesus. That is why you are a son in the kingdom. Are we together, church? Are we together? There is a way the world sees the church. There's a way the world, there's a way they see the church. So they have the perception of the church. There's a way they judge the church. That is why they are outside of God's plan. Are we together? We saw Psalm 68, right? Psalm 68 calls it what? The dry land, right? So that is why they are in the dry land. Don't forget I told you that the concept of dry land in the Old Testament books are true, right? Right? So I showed you that one. The dry land, a desert where there is no sustenance. No sustenance, no nurture, and you are vulnerable. So that is the world. It's dry. No sustenance. Now, the sustenance of the scriptures is described as the Spirit of God. Is the sustenance of the scriptures. The Spirit of God. So no sustenance, vulnerable. No nurture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. They are out of it. Out of that plan. Jesus describes them as the lost sheep. Don't forget. Two kinds of sheep. So the reason why they are the lost sheep is the way they see the church. The way they see the things of God. That is why salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul describes salvation as the Spirit of God shedding light on the heart of the ignorant or the unbelieving. It's 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 3. He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glory of God should shine upon them. Are we together? So he says, the God of this world has blinded. We saw that word, the word to flow, which means to impede one side. So they won't see clearly. It acts like a smoke. So there is a smoke. Now the smoke has to do with thought pattern. There is a smoke, a thought pattern in the mind of the unbelieving. Satan. Now, if the writer, pay attention to this, if the writer is talking about something that impedes vision, and then he mentions mind, That means he's dealing with information. Are we together? That means he's dealing with what? Information. So there's an information. In 2 Corinthians 10, in verse 5, he says, "Though walk in the flesh, no water flesh. Where was our warfare?" He says, "They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Then he goes forward, he says, "Casting down imaginations." Now, imaginations has to do with strongholds of thought, doctrines, belief systems. Belief systems. So there's a thought pattern in the heart of the unbeliever that makes him remain that way. That only the gospel preached by the power of the Holy Ghost can take away. A thought pattern, a belief system. Is it clear, church? Now, some of you don't know that. Some of you don't know that. No way to go forevermore. What if I told you, are you with me? What if I told you that the same way you are convinced of the truth of the gospel, some other people are convinced of living a wayward life? This conviction. Are we together? Now, how did you come by that degree of conviction? Can we say interaction with the truth? Over a long period of time? So, what if I told you that there are also people out there who have interacted with waywardness and uselessness for so long that they've become so convinced that that is how they want to live their lives? Similarly to the way you are convinced of the truth of the gospel, and how you ought to live by the word of God. And that's the same way they are convinced. It shows you that we will need something much more than eloquence. Are we together? To get men saved. Are you with me? It will require the power of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Now your ministry can't lack signs and wonders. You can't afford to have ministry without power. Don't say visible power. Yeah. Signs and wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit. Are we together, church? So there's a way the world sees the church. That's why they're the world. There's a way the world would describe you when you're living by the word of God. When you're living by the word of God, there's a way the world will describe you. And you don't allow that to put you off. I'm what the world says I am. I am what the world says I am. So look at this. There is the doctrine, right? Right? There is also what? There's also what? The life. Now look at it. In 2025, you must make up your mind to live the life of faith. Sometimes they call you stubborn. No, I'm not stubborn. The reality. I believe there's a reality in the world. I'm not stubborn. What we call this stubbornness? I'm not being stubborn. I'm just going to hold on to God's word. Amen. That's faith. Faith is to, I'll describe it this way. Faith is to stake yourself, to stake your life on the word of God. That's faith. Amen. That's faith. Are we together? Life of faith, right? Life of faith. Life of faith. Life of faith. We have the doctrine of faith. There's also what? There's also what? Life of faith. Doctrine of faith is for what? Is for what? Is for what? Life of faith. The doctrine of faith is for life of faith. Life of faith. God's word says so. I'm going to stand by it. And I'm not going to give up. Are we together? Are we together? It's a life of faith. I'm not sure I have the right audience for this morning. Praise God. Are we together? That's the life of what? That's the life of faith. I'm going to stay on it till it leaves my heart. And I'm moving to what we have this morning. Life of faith. That's the life of faith. Never die attitude on God's word. Now, there's a basis, okay? Okay? The basis, the foundation is what God has said. Now, don't forget, I told you severally, you have to find out what you have said. Because you will not do what you didn't promise. So you don't get disappointed. God is not committed to do anything that he has not spoken in his word. In fact, that is one of the usefulness of the doctrine of faith. So that the scriptures are properly explained to you, you are not believing God for something he never said he would do. As I told you, I warned you about people who take seeker-friendly messages out to bring people into the church. Come to our church, Jesus will solve all your life problems. Come to our church, he will give you husband. Come to our church, he will get you a new job. Come to our church, God will give you fruit of the womb. Come to our church. No. Does God work miracles? Yes. Does God meet needs? Yes. Material needs? Yes. Miracles of healing? Yes. Are we together? Are we together? Is it possible that I get into a church and then after a while I get into a church and then after a while along the line I get someone to marry? Yes. Are we together? Does God promise to resolve that by joining the church or joining the work of gospel? No. The moment that becomes the basis, if you join our church, God is going to give you a new job. If you join our testimonies, you are building people's faith on sand. You're building people's faith on sand. Are we together? Don't say life of faith. Life of faith. See, you must develop the life of faith. Yep. You have to develop. That's an instruction this morning. You have to develop the life of faith. Develop the life of faith. The reason for the doctrine, we have several teachings on faith, right? Several. I've taught hundreds of hours on faith. The reason for the doctrine is what? The life of it. You will know if you have the life when your finances are going low down. That's when you know. That's when you know. When contrary circumstances is stepping in, you will know. They are indicators. How you comport yourself, how you press on, what you do, how circumstances change, how they change your circumstances, how they affect your convictions, how they affect your commitments, is how we know if you have the life of faith. Do you have the life of faith? Do you believe God? Say, I believe God. Do you really believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Peter spoke to Jesus. He says, if you help me to come, then Jesus says, come. Then the guy came out, stepped on the water, then began to drown. Then he called on him again. Are we together? That is, you asked me to come. He called on him again. That is faith. To set your gaze. Are we together, church? To maintain your confession. To maintain your confession. So one of the things that we must trust God's help to walk in the coming season. Is it clear? So I've hardly used the word year, but in the coming season, one of the things we must trust God to walk in is to develop our walk of faith, the life of faith. To develop our walk, W-A-L-K, our walk, that is our life, to develop our walk of faith. And let me tell you something, you can develop it. It's like a skill, okay? You can get better at it. Is it clear, church? You can do what? You can get better at it. Now, you can't get better at something you are not intentional about. You can't get better at something you are not deliberate about. Amen? It's like someone who is learning to drive, or you are learning to ride a bike, or to ride, you know, a tricycle. You are learning by being deliberate. One of the things that being deliberate does is that it keeps your focus on it. So you have to focus on your life of faith. Are you listening to me this morning? You have to. Because let me tell you, demands will be made for it. Circumstances will come. I remember early this year, I took time to teach us on what to expect in the year, right? Right? I can tell you, every one of you, everything I said came to pass. Are we together? I'm not a prophet on the social media or on the televised media, but I'm a prophet in this assembly. Is it clear? Just like every pastor called of God should be. Your work is within your assembly. And I told you, and everything came. And I gave you wisdom to handle the year. And I'm telling you again, that in the next season, there will be demands that are... See, circumstances, situations will place demand on your life of faith. Or place a demand on it. So you must develop it. You must have faith project. What did I call it? Faith project. You must set your heart to it. Get it done. And have a never die attitude. A bulldog. Through prayer. Waiting on the Lord. To get supernatural inside direction. Being accountable. With wisdom of God. Through prayer. Sometimes fasting. In fact, a lot of times fasting. Not sometimes. I share that. Like that way. Is it clear? Then you lay hold on it. Then that becomes a foundation for what? Greater things. Is it clear, church? Look at this. Life of faith. 2025. Demand will be placed on it. And we're going to have a greater measure. Are we together? We're going to have a what? A greater measure. Life of faith. Life of faith. I think I've exhausted that impression. Life of faith. Life of faith. There's the doctrine of faith. There's also what? The life of faith. Living it. Putting that doctrine to work. No gift. Is it clear? Pastor, I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it again. What?
What happened? This happened and that happened. I didn't foresee this. I didn't foresee it. So, I think I should try something else. No. No start and stop. Is it clear? I go for it. I get to the end of it. Are you with me? I know there are some of us here that what I'm saying, you might not have the application. But I know there are many of us here who have the application. Because what's happening in your life is demanding it already. In your health. Your health. And it's not just saying, I trust God for my health. No. What are you doing because you trust God? People get healed. Is it clear? Oh. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? How do people get what? Healed. You go and learn how people get healed. I've taught you. We have teachings on healings and miracles, how healing works, how the power of God works, how to receive miracles. We have teachings. So you pick it up. Is it clear? How can I open up my atmosphere for God's power? How can I open up my life for the power of God? You put it to practice. In 2025, let habits fall off. Is it clear? Let it fall off. How can I open up my life to the flow of the power of God? If I have sickness in my body right now, and I'm having the symptoms, and I'm feeling the symptoms, are we together? It could be excruciating. It could be distracting. It could just be there. But let's say growth or whatever. See, the sickness is evident, is there. And I'm not talking about malaria. I'm not talking about malaria. Are we together? So you have the sickness in your body now. And the symptoms are there. How can this thing leave this place? You must know how. Are we together? See, until then, you cannot go and lay hands on the sick. You can't. Well, you can lay hands. Are we together? But I'm talking about having breakthrough with people who are bound in the fetters and shackles of sicknesses. I'm not saying that if you have sickness in your body, you can't minister healing. No, I'm not saying that. You can. Are we together? But I'm saying you've got to have, learn to have breakthrough in your health. You must know how. You must know how to stay on God's word and what to do. That no matter how long it stays there, he doesn't distract you. Are we together? And eventually, you have the victory. Is it clear? Is it clear? See, you have to know how. By the power of God. Nothing wrong with medical science, but your hope can't always be medical science. They fail. I won't let my body be used for experiments. How is my body for experiments? No. Of your body make kosher? No. Are we together? The power of God is working here. Is it clear? You know, we said 2025 is more ministry. We need more stronger bodies. Stronger bodies, stronger blood. Is it clear? Is it clear? Stronger muscles. Not by going to gym. Amen? Nothing wrong with going to gym. Is it clear? But I'm talking about using the word of God and staying on the word of God through faith to have God's power working in your life, in your health, in your finances, in your associations, in your relationships. When you have a dying relationship, relationship is going bad, you must know what to do to resuscitate a dying relationship. It is God's word. It is wisdom. God's word. God's word. You must know what to do to to lay hold on God's supernatural power that will bring in resources, finances. See, if you are going to make it in Nigeria today, it's a combination of two things, though: common sense and miracles. And then you want to join the bad bandwagon. You want to be part of the chaos. Common sense and what? Miracles. Now, the common sense obviously has to do with researching, study, listening, tending to, you know, natural ways. You can know money, businesses. Yes, obviously, read books, go for seminars, you meet people, you talk. You must know how to talk to clients. You must know how to talk to collect righteous clients. You know, not the clients. So are we together? Everything has changed these days. Are we together? Sometimes I'm talking the business, the client. God change vision for me. The client. Amen. You talk to customers. You must know how to sell. Are we together? You must know how to push forth your ideas. Is it clear? You must know how to pitch. You must know how to talk to investors. Are we together? That's what I mean by common sense. But look at this. It's also the miraculous. You must know how to spiritually prepare before embarking on a financial project. Life of what? Life of what? 2025. Now, why am I talking like this? Hear this. Are you with me? In my work so far, obviously, I have many more decades ahead of me. But in my work with God so far, I've been able to point to certain periods of my life where I had a very solid victory in certain aspects. Everything didn't happen together. Are we together? Everything didn't happen together. I can point to certain years. I can say it was in 2000 and this that this aspect became much more effective, and I built on it over the years. And before that year, it wasn't as solid as that. I can point to a particular year and I can say that my prayer life became, I had breakthrough in that area. I didn't say that's the year I prayed most. I didn't even say that's the last time I prayed. But I mean, for every aspect of my life, are we together? There are certain periods I can point to. Some of them are meetings. I can say it was in that meeting that I attended that I had breakthrough in this area. And I've been able to build on it over the years. I've been able to build on it. Are we together? See, there's nothing wrong in that particular year. And then in this year, I trust God to have a solid breakthrough in this area so that many more years can be built on it. And sometimes, when there's grace for something to be done, the information about that thing will come to you in meetings like this as I'm talking. It means there's a grace in that season for this area to be dealt with. And I'm talking to you in 2025 about the life of what? Of faith. Solid, rugged, effective capacity to lay hold on the plan of God and to drive growth, Ezekiel, increase, to achieve things through rock solid faith in God's word. There is, again, I'm telling you, the life of faith. And I'm trusting God that we'll have it corporately as a church. Tell leaders, you get that word out to everyone who is not in service this morning. Is it clear? Get that word out. And make sure you do that today. There's a life of faith as a church. Are we together? Reaching the nations requires faith. Sometimes you look around you are discouraged to even go out on evangelism. What's happening here? Sometimes even by what's happening in your own life. Distractions. But no,
I have God's results. Attention to life of faith this year. Is it clear? Don't worry. That also means I'll teach faith more this year than I've ever taught it. Is it clear? Don't worry. I know how to do that. Back to it again. Back to it again. I want to look at everyone in the church. And the moment when we have interactions, I can see a solid display. It's not something you just while we're talking, while we're interacting, just okay, that's cool. I'm not even mentioning it. Wow, that's cool. That's cool. I think this year, what I got from everyone, virtually almost everyone, is Pastor, I'm embarking on a fast. And then this person also embarking on the fast. I said, okay, that's cool. And there's a feedback mechanism. Just everyone say, I feel led to go on a fast. I want to go on the fast for the whole month. I said, go ahead, that's cool. I didn't stop there. That is a sign. That is a breakthrough in that area through teaching and training. Through teaching and training, people just go out to pray and then take a fast. Some other people chatted me up multiple times. I'm going on asking me, how do I go about it? I want to fast. I have activities. Okay, do it this way. And then send it. That one happened severally this year. And then this year also, we had a lot of initiatives about startups. Are we together? Business startups. People were talking to me about this. That's fine. Are we together? In 2025, because it takes strong faith, are we together, to lay hold of God has for us, we're going to have it. Bodily health, we're going to have it. In finances, we're going to have it. In discipleship, we're going to have it. Are we together? Are we together? In our associations, friendship, and relationships, we're going to have it. Are we together? Clean one. Through faith in God's word. We're going to lay hold on what God has said. We're going to have it. We're going to walk in it. It will now be foundational to many more things. Are we together? That God will have us do. See, when you act on God's word in a capacity, it becomes foundational for many more things He will tell you to do. Whereas, if you allow circumstances, situations, and excuses to keep you away from it, you remain in the same class. Not because God doesn't want to bless you, but because what He told you to do should have helped you some things that will be necessary for the next thing. So, go back to do it. I'll have heart for instructions in this coming season. I told you, the moment instructions come to you, the very first thing instruction indicates is possibility. Go into all the world and make disciples. The very first thing you see in that text is, oh, so it's possible. So it's possible. So when instructions come, oh, walk in love as your Father also walks in love. Oh, so it's possible for me to walk in love. Are we together? Let him that stole. Oh, so it's possible for me that has to not steal again. The very first thing instructions show to you is that there's possibility in that area. Is it clear? The second thing instruction shows to you, because God will not place a demand where He hasn't made a supply, is to show you that there is grace. There's a supernatural supply to help you out or to help you in that area. God has made a supply to make what He has asked or requested possible. Is it clear? So the first thing shows you there's possibility. The second thing shows you there's supply. The third one shows you that is the will of God. That means you just get it done. Get it done. We're getting a lot done this year. Is it clear? Is it clear? Oh. Praise God. Let's get back to our study. Amen. So quickly, we said our work is that of what? A shepherd. To oversee, to protect, to feed, to keep, to lead. Are we together? Don't forget we said, he says they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Isn't it? Isn't it? So we said the work of a shepherd is to provide leadership. To provide leadership, that means to provide direction. To provide leadership and to provide. We asked the question in the course of our study. We said, who scatters the lost sheep, right? Right? Look at John 10 quickly. I'll pick it up from there. John 10. I'll talk more about the life of faith in our workers' meeting. I think I should push some things to that setting. John 10. Praise God. It says in verse, I'm looking at verse 12 though, but let's start from verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and what? Robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now, when it says all that came before me, you have to put the all in context. Moses is not a robber. Is it clear? Is it clear? John the Baptist is not a robber. Is it clear? Is it clear? So when it says all that came before me, you have to know what does it mean by that all? Who is that all referring to? That's contextual reading. So he says, I am the door. By me, if any man entering, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Are we together? It is the thief come not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Did you see that? So it says the wolf scattered the sheep. Now don't forget in verse 6, he calls this a parable. The parable means the wolf is illustrative. If Jesus says he is the door, that door is also illustrative. Jesus is not a door. Are we together? Are we together? But if he says, I am the door, that means it's a parable. There's something in it for you to learn. And it is not literal. It's not literal. So if he says the thief come not for to but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, that means it is not literal. He's not talking about literal killing. Amen. Because later on you will see when he says they were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd, they were weary. That state of being weary, is it clear? Is what he calls kill, steal, and destroy. It means to have no direction to life. To have no purpose for living. To live outside God's plan for living. That is what it means by stealing, killing, and destroying. It means to pursue life outside God's purposes. To pursue life outside the plans of God. Are we together? Without the leadership, the wisdom, the vision, the direction that God supplies. Don't forget the Numbers 11 text. In verse 12, I'll take it again. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. So wolf is illustrative here. Are we together? Obviously, from our study so far, you see, what's his name now? Paul also spoke about grievous words. Wolves in Acts 20, right? And then when he says grievous wolves, he spoke about damning heresies, of false teachings. So is synonymous, are we together, to the effect of false teachings. False teachings. False teachings. Now, what is a false teaching? We'll look at that later. False teachings. So he says, the hireling sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and... Are we together? So So if Jesus, the same Jesus then comes in Matthew 9 and says they were scattered abroad. Is it clear? Are we together? If he says they were scattered abroad, then he's speaking from this text. He says the wolf scatters the sheep. Now in 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and the sheep know me, and I'm known of mine. Now it says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now 16, and other sheep I have, which are not in this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Are we together? And there shall be what? One fold and one shepherd. I think Christ's apostolic church uses this one fold, one shepherd. So he speaks about a sheep that is outside his sheepfold. We call those sheep the lost sheep. Now, why does Jesus call unbelievers or the unsaved his sheep? Because by right, he is the shepherd of the whole world. Are we together? Are we together? So the lost sheep are still what? His sheep. But not yet in his what? In his fold. Why are they his sheep? Because he died for them. Are we together? Now don't forget I told you, when he says, I am the good shepherd, it does not mean that there is a bad shepherd. I told you, the word good in scriptures, you find that right from Genesis 1, when he says, the Lord did this and did this and saw that it was good. Are we together? Good in Genesis simply means what is befitting, what is proper. For example, it is not good that man be what? Alone. It is not good that man be alone. It is not proper. It is not fitting. Now, what does it mean by it is not fitting, it is not proper? In accordance to his plan. This is not my plan. So whatever is not his plan, he says it is not good. Is it clear? Not because the state of things is chaotic and bad and ruining. No. No. It simply means whatsoever is happening is not the way he was plans it. So whatever God has planned is called good. Fitting. Are we together? That is how good is used in the scriptures. That is how good is used in the Bible. So if he says, I am the good shepherd, it does not mean there are others are bad shepherds. It simply means, I am the fitting shepherd. Why is he the one that fits? He is the one who dies. He is the one who is going to die for them. Are we together? Well, if you look at the same John expects that before you reach chapter 10, you have read chapter 1. You read from John 1, you would also have seen that he is the one who created all. So, the one who creates all, are we together? Who comes to dwell amongst all and will die for all is fitting to be the shepherd. How did, David put it? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That is the fitting shepherd. He is the one that fits to be the shepherd. Not the hireling. Is it clear? Are we together? Not the hireling. So he is the one to be the shepherd. I am the fitting shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Then in verse 11, he says, the good shepherd lays his life down. Another word for good shepherd would be true shepherd. He uses that word true a lot when he talks about the vine. Are we together? I am the true vine. Now, when he says I'm the true vine, it doesn't mean that there is a false vine. Because true, in the scriptures, is not the opposite of false. It simply means this is the original plan. Are we together? The moment something is according to God's plan, is called true. Are we together? Now, obviously, why we use the word true? Because that thing has also been spoken of before then. So when you are reading about the vine, or the ministry of the shepherd, or bread from the Old Testament, Jesus comes as the fulfillment of what has been spoken. So he is the fulfillment
fulfillment of what has been spoken is described as true, is described as good. So good or true is a language of fulfillment. What has been said before now is being actualized. Are we together? It's a language of the scriptures to show you there is now a fulfillment. True bread. And by the time he spoke about true bread, he now began to talk about Moses, the bread he gave them. Are we together? John 6, he says, Moses gave you bread. He says, no, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. I am the bread that the Father gave. So if Moses gave bread, Moses was speaking of me. I am the true bread. I am the true vine. I am the true shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Are we together? In other words, he is the shepherd that is the shepherd that is fitting. So he says, I have another sheep that is not yet in this fold. Them must I bring in. Are we together? Are we together? Them must I what? Bring in. Now obviously, look at this. If you read that book a little bit further, by the time he rises from the dead, the next statement he makes to the disciples is that as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now if you pitch that text beside other accounts of the four Gospels, he was talking about word evangelism. Is it clear? In Mark, he says to go into all the world and save every creature. In Matthew, he says to go and make disciples. Are we together? In Luke, he says repentance, remission of sins should be preached in my name. Luke 24:47. In Acts 1, it says in verse 8, you shall be witnesses of me. Is it clear? So them must I bring in. I have another sheep. I have other sheep. It says, which are not in this sheepfold, them must I bring in. So they are not yet in his fold, but they are his own. That means, look at this. If I go outside on the street and see a drug addict, that is Jesus' sheep. Ezekiel, church. I see prostitutes. That is Jesus' sheep. They are his sheep. Someone said, just like me. Hey, someone said, just like me. So what is the difference? You are in the sheepfold. They are not. Them must I bring in. So there is a way you should look at that drug addict. Is it clear? There is a supernatural perception that we must have with people or for people who are not yet saved. God wants us to see them as a sheep. Is it clear, church? So when I look at the unsaved, I am looking at God. God is looking as a sheep through my eyes. When I look at the unsaved, male and female created in them. When I look at unsaved women, ladies, girls, boys, men, in whatever state they have, whatever affairs, whatever religion, whatever race, whatever color, wherever they are on the earth space, are we together? Are we together? White, black, blue, red, orange, whatever they are, is declared. God is looking at the unsaved. God is looking at the sheep through my what? My eyes. I don't cast them away. Praise God forevermore. Other sheep I have, which are not in this fold, them I must bring in. Them I must bring in. Them I must bring in. Are we together? Are we together? Now, look at what he says. He spoke about the sheep in his fold. He says they hear his voice, right? Right? The sheep in his fold. He says they hear his voice. The sheep that are outside his fold, he says, they shall hear. That's what he says in 16. And they shall hear. They shall hear. So, he speaks of a work which will be done in their heart
to receive the saving knowledge of Jesus,
and they shall be one fold. See, this is our mission. One shepherd. This is our mission. This is our mission. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay down myself. I have the power to lay down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment, this permission, that's the word there, permission, have I received of my Father. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So look at, we must trust God to walk on our sight. There is a way to see the unsaved. There's a way to see the unsaved. There's a way to see them. Are we together? We are not better than them. Is it clear? Is it clear? We have only received God. There's a way to treat the unsaved. There's an urgency. There's a mission to seek and to save the lost. A mission given to all. Glory to God forevermore. See, I have that mission. See, I have that mandate to seek, to save the lost. So are they lost? Are they lost? Are they lost? Are they lost? You have to qualify it. Are they lost? Some people are not asking me. Maybe God, they are your friend. Are they lost? If he has not believed that Jesus died and rose from the dead, if he has not believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that we're together. If he hasn't believed that God sent his Son into this world to save sinners through faith in his resurrection, they are lost. But they are a responsibility. They are my responsibility. And the grace of God is upon our lives. Hallelujah. So, Satan scatters. He calls them wolves. Through false teachings. False religion. False religion. Satan scatters. Through doctrines. False religions, false doctrines. Satan also uses problems of life, life challenges. Life challenges. Are we together? Demonic afflictions. Demonic afflictions. Vices. Vices. That's what Satan uses to keep people busy, so they become enemy to the church, to the faith, to the knowledge of Jesus. They are enemies. I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I don't want to have anything to do with I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. No, you want to have everything to do with it. Hallelujah. You want to have everything to do with it. It is God's purpose on the earth. Amen. So Satan uses that. Why don't you want to have anything to do with the church? This and that and that and that. That is the blindfold. Why don't you want to have anything to do with Christianity? Christianity is this. That is that. That is this. Judge is this. Judge is that. Judge is this. That is the blindfold. Are we together? You know, we break that barrier through prayer, right? That's it. We'll break it. So look at this. The devil scatters them. What do I mean by scatters them? He puts them in positions where they are not led. Satan puts them in position where they are not interested. He puts them in positions of heart where they are not interested about the things of God. Satan put them in position where they now begin to cater for themselves. They begin to provide spiritual leadership for themselves. See, the moment a man begins to seek and provide spiritual leadership for himself, that man is outside God's plan. Because God's plan is that you will not produce spiritual leadership for yourself. As you will receive spiritual leadership from another, others will also receive it from who? From you. But the idea of me providing spiritual leadership for myself, you are already being scattered. You understand? That's scattered. You're already feeling into it. Are we together? You know, that was the issue with Babel. The issue at Babel was that men sought spiritual direction for themselves. What was the result of it? Scatter. Someone said, God scattered them. God actually showed them their position to his plan by what happened amongst them. You are scattered. You are scattered. Save them from the greater evil. You are scattered. Are we together? Are we together? Self-provision. And I know that this might sound somehow, but that's the truth. Self-provision of spiritual nurture. Suddenly, can I not sit down my Bible and read and understand all that God wants for me? Number one, no, you can't. You shouldn't. But even if you try, you can't. Some people deserve direct answers. Are you saying that it is impossible that I will pick my Bible and I will understand all that, as I'm reading, I'll be understanding all that God has for my life and plans for it? I'm telling you that it is not possible. Why do you say that? You will know. He gave us teachers. And the teachers have teachers. Have rather. God's plan is that you will receive his word. Are we together? From your oversight. This teaching is just to make people to depend. Jesus depended on the Father. The apostles depended on him. The 120 depended on the apostles. The 3,000 depended on the 120. Are we together? Are we together? Independency is not God's plan. I say it again. Independency, spiritual independency, is not God's plan. See, the very the work of God is called the church, a family, a household. There's no independence. Is it clear? Is it clear? The very fact that it is called the family of God. Amen. The very fact that the word family, household, is used to describe the church means what? There is nothing such as what? Independency. Go and check the lives of independent Christians and jot down the fruits that you see in their life according to God's plan. You will see none. No serious prayer life. Nothing serious going on in life.
So we are shepherds. Hallelujah. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So anything responsible for making people to be distracted from the plans of God, are we together, is what Satan uses to scatter people. Pleasures, desires, ambition. Many times they are not until they become the reason why you can no more serve God. Hallelujah. So don't forget, in Isaiah 45, we saw that if I look into the darkness, what does God want me to see? We've forgotten the text. Praise God. You go back to your notes, remind yourself. So look at this. The work of evangelism and soul winning cannot be done casually. It can't be done casually. There is a way to see the unsaved, church. I'll say two more things, I'll close for this point. There is a perception. There's a way to see. Is not saved, is in need. Is in a great need of spiritual resource which I have been given to minister. Are we together? Are we together? The man who is not what? Saved. Now, the man who is not saved can be wealthy. Right? Right? Can we have unsaved people who are wealthy? Huh? Do you have any unsaved people around you who are wealthy? I'm not saying you should raise your hand, though. Do you think you have? Okay, do you have unsaved people around you who are not wealthy? Some of you quickly remember like 25 people. Praise God. Why? Why? I'll say more sure. But do you have unsaved people around you? As I'm talking right now, I expect your mind to journey round and see. Do you have unsaved people around you who are wealthy or who is wealthy? A man or a woman. Now, the unsaved, would they be male and female? I think we start from there. Would they be male and female? The unsaved, the people that are not born again, would they be male or female? Okay. Or they'll be male and female. But you understand what I'm saying? Right? Right? Male or female, right? Wealthy or not wealthy, right? Right? Don't say wealthy is relative. Shall understand what I'm saying? Young, elderly, right? 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 What are that parameter? Give me, I'm slow. Give me, huh? Literate, thank you. So there will be unsaved that is literate. There will be unsaved that is what? Illiterate. Right? 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 So look at this. Whatever category they fall into, they are in need of the gospel. He is lost. Praise God. He's lost. So that means, look at this. I'm not to
There's no dichotomy.
I want to use the word stigmatized, but no, it's not a proper word now. It's the word dichotomy.
There is no dichotomy.
Amen?
In the work of evangelism, God is looking at his sheep through your eyes.
Amen. Amen.
So look at me. Are they likely going to hear the same gospel?
Or there is a different gospel that is crafted out for the rich? Are you going to hear the same gospel? Same gospel. That Jesus died? Wait. Can a wealthy man or a wealthy woman, it's out of my wealthy. A wealthy, you know, there's wealthy. There's wealthy. So, can a wealthy woman hear the message that Christ died for her? Can they? They're not answering me. Can they? I don't want to go. It's only one you. I have the power. Praise God.
Can they?
Can they hear
that Christ went to hell for them? Huh? Look at what Jesus said. Jesus says in John 3, Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you that what? You must. So, can you walk up to a wealthy man in his GLK and say, sir, you must be born again? Can you?
Yes,
is it proper?
Yes,
is it proper?
Yes,
should we?
Yes,
now, with the same compassion,
can you go to
a guy on the street whose right leg slipper is not the same color with the left leg, and he's sitting down there, maybe even thinks you want to give him money, maybe even came to you for arms? You know those guys. Are we together? You don't know those guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Baba, Baba. And the guy comes to you and he says, Siva and gold. Siva and gold. I have not.
Such as I have.
Don't go see where. Open your Bible. Oh, you don't have one. But can we, with the same compassion, preach the gospel to those who do not have material things? So look at this. Look at this. The fact that someone does not have any sign of benefiting me materially, are we together? Is not reason to not preach the gospel. And the fact that somebody has all the signs, that he has all the resources I ever need, is not reason to not what? Engage him with the gospel. Is it clear? Is it clear? The same message. The same approach. The same message. The same message. If he's unsaved, he's unsaved. I can start up preaching the gospel the same way. Hello, good morning. Can I have some time with you? How to share with you the gospel? What do you know about righteousness? Pick it up from there. What's your understanding on holiness? I don't know, can we just chat for a while? Yeah, maybe you're going somewhere. Maybe you're in the bus. Maybe you're in the bus. I remember I was in the bus some weeks ago now. Where was I going? Let me try to remember where I was going. I was going to Lagos. Yes, I was going to Lagos. So I had to go. I went to the car park and then I took a bus. So as I was going, I saw a man was seated. Well, I like to sit by the window. I think I shared that call with, like, see the window, see the nature. Even though I've seen nature 10,000 times on road to Lagos. And I sat down there. So he was seated next to me. And then, you know, we just began. I didn't even know how we started talking. And then we just began talking. Well, I preaching the gospel. I don't know that I preaching the gospel to him.
at that time.
But in the course of the conversation, I found out that he was the owner of a multinational company in Lagos, and he was just going. So I think he came for some real estate works within the city. Really, he just came to check. I think he stayed abroad, and then he came to check real estate works in the city. So he was running to Lagos, probably to oversee the company, and then go out there. But from the conversation, he was a very, very wealthy guy. And then, by the time we spoke for a while, I just looked at him from his conversations. I knew that he wasn't born again. So I just started sharing the gospel with him. Right there, in the seat there. I started sharing the gospel with him. And he had a lot of information about churches, about this, about. He even took me to the concept of tithes. I said, you, tithes. You should be quiet, lest you become a tithe for Satan. I answered his question on tithing, and then he said, yeah, what Bible school did you go to? Bible school. I didn't go to Bible. What life has control in my Bible school? Bible school. And then we spoke and spoke, so I began to share the gospel with him, and then explain to him why there is the character of God, a God being clinical, God doing this, why would God become flesh? That God could have just, I think he said, can God just do something to go ahead and then just become saved? You know, so I gave him parables, but I'm just saying that it's the same to gospel to everybody. People's material status should not affect how we preach the gospel. It's a clear church, whether they have or they do not have. Let me begin to close a bit by bit. Are we together? So discipleship. Now, the same thing goes into discipleship. Is it clear? Discipling people after they are saved. The fact that you are somebody who is very wealthy. You know, say, instead of you to instruct your disciples, say, where are you being in church? They say, don't you know it's nice to be in church by now? That one is discipleship proof. Don't you know it's nice to be in church by now? How would you feel if give instruction? Is it money you are discipling or human being? Give instruction. Is it clear? Anybody that can't take instruction because he has more money, are we together? He is not serving God. He's serving his money. Take instruction. So the same thing goes into discipleship. You are discipling somebody older than you. Somebody, can I disciple someone that is older than me? Obviously. Disciple someone older than you. Amen.
Amen.
You are disciple someone younger than you. You are disciple someone that has more money than you. More money than you. Has more money than you. You are disciple someone that has more influence than you. Are we together? It does not matter. Is it clear? Is it clear? Someone say, but I think that I should respect the person more. That same respect should go to the brother who does not have any.
You get what I'm saying?
The same respect. Know that the brother or the sister that does not have anything. If I rebuke the person, you are bullies. You are doing. Then the one that asked him, I didn't like what you did last week. I was calling you, did not pick up. I know you can be busy. Are we together? Look at what Paul said, 1 Timothy 6. He says, charge them. He could have used the word admonish them. When short they get it, them that are rich in this world. He says what? Charge! Charge them. Now this is charge. Let me quote the text finish. Let's say charge. Let's say go long. No. It says charge them that are rich in this world. Are we together? To not be high-minded. Are we together? Are we together? Nor trust on certain riches. But that they be what? They be what? They be what? This text even leaving my head too. 1 Timothy 6. That's verse what now? 17, okay. Charge them that are rich in this world, right? That they be not what? High-minded, nor trust in what? Uncertain riches. But that they be what? that they be rich in good works, ready to what? Distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, teach wealthy people, are we together, the art of giving, which definitely is also going to be communicated to even the unwieldy. He says to carry out discipleship training for all. Ezekiel church. So look at this. There is no dichotomy. That is what I am saying. Discipleship is deliberate, intentional, and consistent. Consistent means what is extended to the rich goes to the what? Not rich. Ezekiel, are you with me, church? What is extended to the graduate goes to the what? No, God. Obviously, I understand that there will be some peculiarity. Is it clear? Is it clear? But the peculiarity is not informed by resources. No. No. Someone say no. Aha. The peculiarity is not informed by privileges and resources. No. Amen. For example, this is what I mean. Let's say you are discipling somebody who is in their 50s and you are just in your 30s. Have some respect now. Are we together? Have some respect. Sometimes when you show up, yeah, mommy a pelema. What did you say? In my are we together? Why are you all laughing? Because there's this on your mind. There's nothing wrong. See, how did you say a pelema to my disciple? Oh. Where I say so that you can disciple well. Are we together? Are we together? There's someone that is old enough to be your mom. And by privilege of the gospel, you are discipling the person. Respect. Look at what Paul told Timothy. Treat, are we together? Elder women as what? Mothers. Oh. Elder men as what? Father. Then it says younger women as what? Sisters. Is it clear? Does the gospel recognize age? Why is it obey your father? Are we together? And obey your father there. Are we honor your father rather? And you honor your father there. If you translate it into our world today, are we together? We live in a society where it's not only a biological father, are we together, that can demonstrate all the rights of a father. Someone who is also as old as a biological father can also communicate some influence. Are we together? You're supposed to also at least defer the honor of the father to the person. So honoring your father also includes who are also fathers to other people who are in similar capacity to your own father. Is it clear? Honoring your father also includes esteeming people who have similar capacity with your own father. You know what I'm saying? The Bible only says, my daddy. You are not my daddy. No. No. A Christian is a Christian. Is it clear, church? It's simple. A Christian is a Christian. So, that's what I mean by the privilege. You are discipling somebody who probably employs 5,000 people. Are we together? You don't need an angel to come and tell you to walk in respect and honor. Are we together? But don't forget, I said the same respect and honor should also go to what? The one who does not what? Who doesn't have. You can also be discipling somebody who is working in an organization as your staff. The same respect. Are we together, church? So I'm saying that in discipleship, just like in evangelism, there is no dichotomy. People do not suffer what they do not have. Are we together? In our hands as a disciple, as a preacher of the gospel. No. We are the ministers of that grace and we communicate it to all. So look at this. Discipleship, the work of, there is no dichotomy. No dichotomy. We don't dichotomize between people of various status, material wealth, age, obviously gender. Amen. There's no special discipleship for men. There's no special discipleship for women. Are we together? Say, oh, this Sunday we're having men's service.
Well, I don't know about that, but discipleship is the same for all. Are we together? Don't say, what about men's conference, women's conference? There's nothing in men's conference that cannot be said to women. It's just a pretense society. Are you with me? There's nothing. Are we together? There's nothing in men's conference that cannot be said what? To women. In fact, some of those even women no more. Some of the men that will come and teach in the conference is their wives that they had the conversation with. Tell your men this one too. Tell your men this one too. Among us, we like to talk more. Are we together? And there's nothing you want to tell to women that men cannot what? Men are doctors. Men are engineers. Men are financial. Are you with me? Are we together? So you can leave that to the world. But see, when it is Christ's discipleship, there's no such gender dichotomy. So that's why the same letter, you know, the letters are going to be read, Abby? The epistles, were they going to be read? Yeah, they're going to be read. So in the same letter they will read that says, wives should honor their husbands. The husbands were told to what? Honor their what? Their wives. Are we together? Are we together? Now, you know, husband, honor your wife is a very summarized instruction. Abby? So, will the pastor now go ahead to explain it, or he will now call men aside? No. It's the same discipleship curriculum. So, there is no dichotomy. Don't use a message to attack women. A message to attack... No. You are affecting God's work. The same message. Whatever ministerial training, obviously, the same training of ministry that goes to the men goes to the women. If women receive the training of ministry more, they will now be leaders over the men. Not in the homes. Are we together? But in the what? In the church of God. Amen. If men receive the training, they will be leaders. Someone said the same thing. So I'm breaking that gender, societal, material, psychological, professional barrier. There is no such thing. We are told to disciple all men. So starting from evangelism to discipleship process, are we together? Obviously, if you are discipling, if a brother is discipling a sister, or a sister is discipling a brother, you are supposed to acknowledge certain things. Are you with me? We are the new creation. Onga, give yourself a break. Are we together? Like I said, there is no discipleship of following up that you are doing in church. A brother is following up a sister is following up a brother, that you are following up past 7 p.m. That one is no more follow up. Oh, are we together? 7:30. That is a follow up. There's no follow up that you can't follow up. Except the person enters your room. That one is not follow up. That one is follow away. Are we together? We follow away. Amen. You are discipling a sister. Obviously, the privilege of discipleship, a brother can disciple a sister. He's here in a church. Only sister disciple sister. Only brother. If people want to be bad, they will be bad. Are we together? That's ministry. Paul had women disciples. Phoebe in her church had people, in Romans 16, that she was discipling, and they are men. And Paul recommended her to the churches to listen and do everything she says. Are we together? Jesus had female disciples. Mary was one of them. Martha was one of them. Are we together? The Magdalene was one of them. Amen. Amen. Are we together? So look at this. You most definitely, that's where wisdom and skill comes in discipleship. In discipleship. Are we together? Wisdom, skill, discipleship. Because people can have some peculiarities. You can have some peculiarities. Gender is already a peculiarity. There are some issues that, when your disciple says, a disciple that is a lady, says, I have this issue. Don't worry. Hello, sister, so and so, are you there? Oh, yeah, come. Or is it, okay, that area, talk to. I just want to explain. I know. God will bless you. Talk to brother. No, sorry. Talk to sister, so and so. Are we together? A sister, you are discipling a brother, giving instructions to a brother. And then the boy say, I have a health issue. And then, I don't know, I began to. Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. No problem. We'll talk about it. And then, so, that brother, that's attend to him. Or you talk to your leader. Okay. On that issue, he's going to attend. I'm a disciple. Disciple oversees everything. Are you with me? Discipleship. So there is no such dichotomy, but there can be such peculiarities. Is it clear? And those peculiarities, wisdom, experience, and ministry, and we said, I need to start closing. So look at this. Our work is to produce disciples out of every ship. Every new ship that comes into the fold, our responsibility is to produce what? A disciple in them. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? I give this to us all. In our church, we have a transition structure. We expect people to come into the church because we have gone on evangelism. Now, there are different ways by which people come into a church. There are different avenues. Are we together? But the greatest avenue through which people should come into the church is through evangelism. If more people come into the church through other routes, aside from having been personally reached, that church will soon go into extinction. I say it again. That church will soon go into extinction. Are we together? Because in the plan of God, the sustainable way by which the churches of God should increase is by evangelizing the community. See, the primary work of the church in any location is to evangelize it. It's to evangelize it. It's to win the souls. Are we together? When the church starts in the community, more people are unsaved than saved. As the church progresses in its mission, more people become saved than what? Unsaved. Are we together? Because the church is reaching out, seeking after the lordship, and bringing them to the sheepfold by the power of the Holy Ghost. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. So we believe that in our church, for example, more people should come in through outreaches, evangelism. It could be one-on-one. It could be massive meetings like crusades and all that. But people will come in. People that we have preached to find their way into the sheepfold as we bring them in. Are we together? Now, look at this. We believe that everyone who comes in, worship with us, maybe as the first time, or comes in as a new convert, are we together? After a while, is made stable in the church. We'll call them new disciples. So, an invite must become a new disciple. A new disciple is somebody who is now demonstrating faithfulness through spiritual growth. Demonstrating faithfulness through spiritual growth. We believe that a new disciple should then be matured into taking responsibilities within the church as workers in the church. We call them workers, the workforce, the workers in training. And then people should journey through spiritual maturity and responsibility from being workers in training into leadership capacities and responsibilities in the church. Are we together? Are we together? But look at this. God's plan is that the moment people join in the church, we are able to produce from them disciples, laborers for Him. And that is the work of the shepherd. Your work, you and I, is to raise shepherds from new combat. Is it clear, church? To raise shepherds from new converts. Amen. In Luke 15, we see a scenario. In Luke 15, we find Jesus with a prostitute. I showed you from 1 Samuel last week, people that the society have given up on becomes people we reach out to. God doesn't give up on people. He is the true shepherd. Are we together? He is the good shepherd. He does not give up on any. We see Zacchaeus also in the same Luke 15. People that the society have relegated as sinners, people we should not dwell with, evil people, bad people, people forgotten, people that we have judged as doomed to unrighteousness. The shepherd of God, God's shepherd, Jesus' shepherd, we will not see them that way. Are we together? Are we together? So in other words, as we are carrying out the work of discipleship, I'm showing you the category of people that we now find within the church. Are we together? So the church is not pitched to look for upwardly mobile people in the society. No. All should come in. Don't say all should come in. So that means in my evangelism also, I don't say, this guy will not have anything to offer us. I now see a guy that is now entering his Lexus, and now running after him. No. So I don't say all. All should come in. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear, church? All should come in. The borders of the church is open to all. Are we together? Hear me clearly. Hear me clearly now. Look at it. Including morally unstable people. Hey! Yes! Yes! You mean? Ashewo? Yes! Are we together? But that's funny. It's not funny. Including them? Yes! In the church? Yes! They will not dress like that as they are coming, but I mean, yes! What about? Yes! In the church? Yes! But let me ask you a question. Where then should they be? Where should they be? Where is their lives going to be changed? Where are they going to be fed with the word of God? Where are we going to minister God's power to them to transform and to help them off that habit? Where are they going to be useful to God? Are we together? Are we together? In the church. Someone say in the church. Look at me, church. That's why we must get ready. Are we there? You can't be battling with something that you expected to take somebody out of. You can't be. You can't be. You can't be. You can't be battling with gambling. Gambling. Is it bet Niger or something? Eh? 40 bet, thank you. All the money in your life you are using to sporty bet. Sporty bet. I believe it's one of the greatest addictions. It's worse than smoking. Worse than smoking. Worse than drinking. It's 40 bet. But you know it. What is it? I want this. One. No, it's not one. I don't have the language. Give me the one. When you win, what do they call it? Cash, thank you. Cash out. When you fail, go. Cash down. Ticket card. Ashiri. Ashiri. Ticket card. Get caught. Like 50. It has a cash out. One. Cash out. Get caught. Plus 5 minus 500. Is that not a curse? That's a curse. If you use that money, put it in the business. Then business will take time. Oh, so greedy person. Impatient. And when they cash out, look at where they use the money to cash out.
Nothing useful.
Are we together?
Are we together?
Let's not talk about that. But look at this. See, all kinds of people. 2025, all kinds of people, right? Are we together? All kinds of people. People in secondary school, have you? Come inside. Say, we have room for more. Say, we have room for more. Say, all kinds of people. Say, Lord, we have room for all kinds of people. See now. Are we together? All kinds of people. There's wisdom. Is it clear? There's power. Is it clear? The word of God is there. Is it clear? There's a transforming power. Is it clear? Come. Bring it in. The church is the multi-purpose hospital that is on the earth. No one hospital that solves all health conditions, but the church will solve all spiritual conditions. Ezekiel church, the church will. Because there are giftings, there are graces of God in the church. Ezekiel, are we together? The gift of the apostles within the church, the gift of the prophets within the church, the gift of the pastor is within the church, the gift of the evangelist within the church. Then there's the gifts of the spirit. Are we together? Revelatory gifts, all kinds of gifts, power gifts in the church. Are we together? Then there are virtues of the Holy Ghost within the church to be ministered, contacted, and received in the church. So we have people like Zacchaeus. Mabel, come to church. See, learn to tell people, come to church. Don't already judge them. It's not this one we are looking for in our church. It's not what they are looking for. No, let them what? Come to church. Come to church. How about coming to church? How about being in service? Ezekiel church? Ezekiel? We find Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. Come to church.
In Acts chapter 8,
we saw your former Babalawo. Come to church. Ezekiel? Come to church. Your mansard disease is what? Come to church. Come to church. Yes, come to church. Because the church is the family of God. The church, in the church, we have meetings. And through those meetings, the Holy Ghost changed lives. Are we together? Come to church. Come to church. Someone say, we have not been told to preach church. We have been told to preach Christ. And after we have preached Christ, people to go to shrine. Don't be an idiot. A complex one at that. Are we together? After we have preached Christ, should people go to the mosques? No. Come to the church. If we do church right, there is nothing wrong in telling people, come to church. That's where it works. That's where sometimes even your physical needs can be met. Are we together? Are we together? Your spiritual needs are met. You are taught of God.
You are loved
by the people of God. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. Say I mention your name. I Kevin, I have the heart of a good shepherd. The heart of a good shepherd, the compassion is via preaching. I close them. Via teaching. And you know we have the gifts of the Holy Ghost, right? Last week I laid hands on someone in the city. Had a very chronic sickness. Her latent was in the chest down to the stomach. He said he had been there for months. I think it's about 6 or 7 or 8 months. That is, it's just been there. So he can't bend. He can't stretch. So the guy was just he was walking like this. Are we together? Things like that just excite me. Not the condition. But I just lay hands. I knew it was a demon. I knew it was a demon. There are some things that when he told you, you just smile. I knew it was a demon. There are some other things that are caused by things that haven't gone bad in the body. Is it clear? Some things you just cast out the devil. You don't stress. Some other things, you minister healing, and maybe you only teach the person. Sometimes you have to minister healing again and again for weeks. Then the person will be healed. You need to know those things. I knew it was a demon. I just told him, come. So I think I lay my left hand because I was so bold. I just put the hands on it. And I spoke into his ears, but I was not talking to him. You can speak into somebody's ears, but you are not talking to him. Are we together? Speaking to his ears is to have his consent, but you are addressing another supernatural being. So I address that devil. You foul spirit. You come out of this flesh right now. if you don't want for that trouble.
Come out right now.
You are bent. Do what you could not do outside the camera. Is it clear? Is it clear? Someone is outside the camera. Healed on the spot. And then I preached. He was a Christian. And then I preached the gospel to him again. Are we together? Are we together? It's better to ensure someone is saved than to assume he's saved and the person goes to hell. Because you might not be able to meet the person after that instant. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So I have the heart of a good shepherd as I minister the gifts of the Spirit. I have the heart of the good shepherd. I have God's answer. The saving grace of Jesus Christ. God is making me a shepherd to multitudes. Play for my clothes. God is making me what? A shepherd to what? Multitudes. See, this year, God is increasing your shepherd influence. Yes. Are we together? If you have not taken that step in 2024, take that step now. If you have taken the step in 2024, I hear by the Spirit of God to tell you, in your coast. Where you put 10, where you see 10, 100, 100, 100, and 100-fold. Fear the Lord. 100 and 100-fold. Because treated the heart of a shepherd in preaching my word, in teaching my word, in seeking to meet the material needs of men and women I've brought under your care, in ministering and seeking to minister the things of my spirit to men and women under your care. Because you have demonstrated a capacity for more by being faithful with the present one, I'm giving you more. I'm not reading it, I'm prophesying. I'm reading something else. I'm giving you more, hear the Spirit of God. I'm filling those empty spaces with more shepherds. More shepherds. More shepherds. More shepherds, hear the Spirit of God. And you will go for more. More. More filled venues this year. Your cell locations are filled. Your corporate meeting locations are filled. Your special meeting locations are filled. Spirit of God. More. More. And I'm making your heart to demonstrate my compassion the more. Yes, 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 yes. There is that measure of my grace and compassion that you have seen flow forth from your heart because of the state that you have put your heart in, that yielded state that you have put your heart in. Because you have yielded to my grace, you have experienced the measure of a flowing force of my grace, the compassion and the wisdom and the skill of shepherding from your heart. But I work on your heart more and more to be more yielded, so that you can experience a greater flow of the same grace. It is the same grace here, the Spirit of God. Not a different grace, that wisdom of a leader, of a shepherd, of a preserver, of a protector, of a servant. I am helping your heart to do beyond what you have gotten it to do in time past. I am helping your heart to desire beyond more of what you have desired in time past, so that you can see more. For I will walk in you and walk on them, hear the Lord. As I walk on them to hear, I will walk in you to say, yes, hear the Lord. I am the one that walks within and without. I am the one that walks on the field and in the rooms. I am the one that walks within the fortress and on the field. I will walk in you and walk on them, hear the Spirit of God. On them to hear, on you to say. I will fill your heart with wisdom and revelation, and I will fill their own heart with hunger and desire to do. Is the year for more? Is the season for more? More shepherds and more sheep for the faithful shepherd. So you go after them to lead them in, and they will come in. You go after them to find pasture, and they will find pasture. You go after them to help them find pasture and spiritual development in my plan, and they will eat and they will yield. Hear the Spirit of God. And the signs of growth will be all over you as men take responsibility. The signs of growth will be all over you as men yield. The signs of growth will be all over you as you will find yourself serving more in greater depth but with grace. The signs of growth is all over you, even numeric growth. Even in your own personal lives and private lives, there is growth all around you. In your finances, I will cause you to grow. In wisdom, I will cause you to grow. In experiences, I will lead you a new path that if you do not shy away from and you not lay back on, I will cause you to have greater experiences that will give you more wisdom to handle that which I'm bringing your way. I urge you, therefore, to set out deliberately, set out intentionally to bring in and to establish in the fold such that the one that is brought in finds pasture. And they will be taught of God. They will be taught of God. Hear the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Have your seat, everyone. So look at this church. We'll go out much more. Ezekiel Church. We'll go out much more to seek saved to the end that they will find pasture in the church. Ezekiel Church will go out much more to seek the unsaved, the unreached, the unchurched, to the end that they will find pasture in the church. Don't go out looking for decisions. Go out looking for men and women to engage with conversations within the scriptures and to bring them into the fold and to provide leadership for them. I take that again. Don't go out looking for decisions. No. Don't go out looking for decisions. No. Go out looking for men and women to engage with conversations within the scriptures. Looking for men and women to engage with conversations within the scriptures. To bring them into the fold. To provide leadership for them. Are we together? It is. As we close the year, the last Sunday of the year, as we open a new year, it remains our compassion. It remains our undying passion, our assignment, our duty, our dream, and our vision to do what? To win souls to the Lord. So we close the year on winning souls. Are we together? We open the new year what? We open the new year what? Winning souls. Are we together? Someone say more souls. More men. More women. Of all categories. Are we together, church? To win a soul. In our place of work. In our schools. In our campuses. In our streets. In our neighborhood. Communities. In the bus. On the road. At the car park. In the marketplace. Wherever. To win souls. Are we together? To reach out to the unsaved. Preaching the gospel. In the power of the Holy Ghost. To heal the sick, to cast out devils, to take authority over the works of Satan, to ensure that men are set free from distractions, held them bound, distract them, that are scattered them about, distractions of false doctrine, to put light, revelation in through the teaching of God's word, with clarity and simplicity. Are we together? Are we together? And the grace of God is upon our lives. To win a soul. To win a soul. So draw a plan this day. How many souls will you win per week? It has to be on per week basis. Per week basis. How many am I going to establish in the church? Per month. Make that per month basis. How many am I going to follow through into the leadership? Per quarter. Make it per quarter basis. Are we together? Win a soul. Establish a soul. Watch them grow. And we watch them win others in their number. I tell you, men and brethren, that is a great thing. Tell your neighbor, say, that is a great thing. That is a great thing. So it's a year to attempt great things for the Lord. Be part of soul winning. Be part of soul winning.
Are we together? Ensure that in every service there are people in church because of you. Ensure it. Ensure it. Ensure it. Ensure it. And ensure that those that are in church because of you are actually learning the word. They are actually growing. Ensure they are actually being helped out of habits. Ensure they are actually being helped to know the Lord. Ensure that they are also being catered for, provided for in their natural lives by sharing your wisdom, sharing your skill, sharing your experience. Ensure that you provide the Jesus experience. Are we together? Are we together? In the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, we're going to have more to do more. Hallelujah. We're going to have what? More to do what? To do more. Ezekiel Church, we can literally call 2025 the year of more. Are we together? The year of what? More. More disciples. More prayers. On Thursday, I said about implementing more, right? More leading of the Spirit. Is it clear? I'll do more this year by the leading of the Spirit than I've done ever before. Is it clear, church? I'll pray more this year. I'll also reach out more this year. I will build more relationships, stronger relationships this year. Is it clear? I'll give more this year. I will do more. I will do more. I will do more. I will do more. I will walk in my bodily health more. Are we together? More health, less sickness. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? All health, no sickness. Is it clear? More health, less sickness. Is it clear? Less defeat, more victory. Is it clear? More victories. Are we together? More disciples. Are we going to have more sales this year? Are we going to have more works this year? Are we going to have more disciples this year? Are we going to have more revelation this year? More revelation. More insight into God's word this year. More hours of prayer. More workers meeting. More workers training. More follow-ups. More outreaches. More. Glory to God forevermore. There I go for more. There I go for more. I think there's that song by the Disco of the Church on more. This is another song. Yes, more and more. More and more. Let's sing that song with our hearts. Just sing that song once or twice. Then we'll close the service. With joy and gratitude in the last Sunday of the year, and we're grateful for all that God has given to us.